Let's read together Esther chapter 1. In this first chapter of Esther, we have the removal of Queen Vashti by King Xerxes of Persia to pave the way for Esther to become the new queen. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 9. Esther chapter 1, beginning of verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this was the Ahasuerus who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. In those days, when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Susa, the capital, or citadel, that in the third year of his reign he made a feast for all his officials and servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his excellent majesty for many days, 180 days in all, and when these days were completed, the king made a feast lasting 7 days for all the people who were present in Susa, the capital or citadel, from great to small, in the court of the garden of the king's palace. There were white and blue linen curtains fastened with cords of fine linen and purple on silver rods and marble pillars. And the couches were of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of alabaster, turquoise, and white and black marble. And they served drinks in golden vessels, each vessel being different from the other, with royal wine in abundance, according to the generosity of the king. In accordance with the law, the drinking was not compulsory, for so the king had ordered all the officials of his household, that they should do according to each man's pleasure. Queen Vashti also made a feast for the women in the royal palace, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. Let's begin our study of the book of Esther with some background notes. When the Persian Empire came to power in place of the Babylonians, Cyrus, the Persian emperor, issued a decree in 539 BC that allowed the Jewish captives in Babylon to return to their homeland and rebuild their temple. About 50,000 Jews returned at that time under the leadership of Zerubbabel. This initial return is covered in the first six chapters of the book of Ezra, Ezra chapters 1 through 6. However, many of the Jews did not return to Jerusalem. They now had roots in the land of their captors and preferred to stay there. Even when a second return to Jerusalem was made in 458 BC under the leadership of Ezra, most of the Jews remained in Persia. This second return to Jerusalem under Ezra is covered in Ezra chapters 7 through 10. The events in the book of Esther fit chronologically between these two returns of the Jews to their homeland. These events took place in Susa, one of the main capitals of the Persian Empire. Most likely, the king Ahasuerus in the book of Esther is the Persian king Xerxes I, who ruled from 486 BC down to 465 BC. Ahasuerus is the Hebrew form of his name. Now, the book of Esther is the only book in the Bible that does not contain the name of God. Did you know that? However, the hand of God is seen working behind the scenes in every chapter of the book, and thus the theme of Esther is providence. That is, we see God's divine guidance and protection for his people Israel throughout this book, even though the name of God is not mentioned. The fact that God's name is not found in Esther emphasizes the fact that the Jews residing in Persia were mostly secular Jews. They were not faithful in fulfilling their responsibility of returning home to Jerusalem to worship at the house of the Lord. Jeremiah's prophecy of freedom after 70 years of captivity certainly indicated that the will of the Lord was for his people to return home after the captivity. See Jeremiah 25, verse 12 in this connection. But in spite of this lack of commitment to return to Jerusalem and worship the Lord at his temple, God still was at work behind the scenes to accomplish his purpose on behalf of his people. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Esther chapter 1. Doctrinal teaching point number 1. God can use national events to accomplish his purpose. God can use national events to accomplish his purpose. In the third year of his reign, Xerxes gave a six-month feast in Susa, his capital. Call it the Persian Expo. All those of high government office and military rank in the vast Persian Empire were in attendance. Most likely, they used this time to plan and plot their strategy for Persians' invasion of Greece, which took place in 480 BC. Throughout the 6 months, Xerxes displayed the wealth and glory of his kingdom. He probably included royal parades to show off his military strength and hardware. At the end of the 6 months, Xerxes gave a second feast, which lasted for another 7 days. It was held in the royal gardens, which were most elegantly furnished, as we see in verse 6. There were white and blue linen curtains, fastened with cords of fine linen, and purple on silver rods and marble pillars. And the couches were of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of alabaster, turquoise, and white and black marble. The royal wine ran freely, and each person could drink as much as he wanted, but no one was forced to drink. We see in verse 9 that Queen Vashti also gave a feast for the women at the same time. Little did Xerxes know that all of this display of national pride and majesty was setting the stage and paving the way for Esther to become the new queen. God was in the process of accomplishing his purpose on behalf of his people. When the very existence of the Jewish people would be threatened in the days ahead, Esther would be in place to save the day. God can use national events to accomplish his purpose. Then and today. Remember, God used a Roman census to accomplish his purpose of having Jesus born in Bethlehem in accordance with Micah's prophecy. You know, every 4 years we have a national event in our own country. We elect the president. Now, do you think God can work behind the scenes to bring the right person into office to be there when terrorism strikes or some other national crisis takes place? The answer is obvious. God can use national events to accomplish his purpose. Doctrinal point number 2. God can use domestic squabbles to accomplish his purpose. God can use domestic squabbles to accomplish his purpose. Verses 10 through 22. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, 7 eunuchs who served in the presence of King Ahasuerus, to bring Queen Vashti before the king, wearing her royal crown, in order to show her beauty to the people and the officials, for she was beautiful to behold. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, brought by his eunuchs. Therefore the king was furious, and his anger burned within him. Then the king said to the wise men, who understood the times, for this was the king's manner toward all who knew law and justice, those closest to him, being Karshina, Shethar, Admetha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Memucan, the 7 princes of Persia and Media, who had access to the king's presence, and who ranked highest in the kingdom. What shall we do to Queen Vashti, according to the law? Because she did not obey the command of King Ahasuerus brought to her by the eunuchs. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Queen Vashti has not only wronged the king, but also all the princes and all the people who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For the king's behavior will become known to all women, so that they will despise their husbands in their eyes when they report King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought in before him, but she did not come. This very day, the noble ladies of Persia and Media will say to all the king's officials that they have heard of the behavior of the queen. Thus there will be excessive contempt and wrath. If it pleases the king, let a royal decree go out from him, and let it be recorded in the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it will not be altered, that Vashti shall come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she. When the king's decree, which he will make, is proclaimed throughout all his empire, for it is great, all wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. And the reply pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. Then he sent letters to all the king's provinces, to each province in its own script, and to every people in their own language, that each man should be master in his own house and speak in the language of his own people. Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command to be put on display at his banquet. This made Xerxes furious, and in the emotion of the moment, he banished Vashti from the royal courts following the advice of his 7 personal counselors. These counselors, by the way, don't seem to have too much common sense, do they? They think that when word ripples out about Vashti's conduct, all the women of the empire will despise their husbands. Verse 17, for the queen's behavior will become known to all women, so that they will despise their husbands in their eyes. When they report, King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought in before him, but she did not come. And furthermore, these counselors think that an edict from the king will force all wives to honor their husbands. Verse 20, when the king's decree, which he will make, is proclaimed throughout all his empire, for it is great, all wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. I'm sorry, guys, it doesn't work that way. So it looks like Xerxes did not pick the greatest counselors, did he? Of course, these men may have had the hidden agenda of giving Persian men a legal grounds for an easy divorce. In any case, as a result of his domestic squabble with the queen, King Xerxes issued the edict and removed Vashti. Little did Xerxes know that God was working behind the scenes to prepare the way for Esther to become the new queen. Can God use domestic squabbles to accomplish his purpose today? Of course he can. Some of you have read John Grisham's book, The Testament. In that novel, a family is squabbling over the family inheritance. In the end, the money goes to the Lord's work on the foreign mission field. While this is only a novel, it is true to life. God can work through family squabbles over money and through other family squabbles as well to accomplish his purpose. God can use domestic squabbles to accomplish his purpose. What about practical application from Esther chapter 1? Read the book of Esther when you are discouraged. Read the book of Esther when you are discouraged. Why the book of Esther? Why, the name of God is not even mentioned once in the book. That's exactly the point. The name of God is not in the book of Esther, but the hand of God is seen in every chapter of the book. Did you ever feel like God had forgotten about you or left you stranded? Listen, God was still there at those times. He may not have been up front, but he was there, working behind the scenes on your behalf. As it was in the book of Esther, so it may be at times in our lives as believers. Read the book of Esther when you are discouraged.